It was said of the first president of the United States, George Washington, that he was hailed as first in war, first in peace, and first in the hearts of his countrymen. During the Revolutionary War, George Washington didn't send someone else to go in his stead. He took responsibility and went himself to lead the call for independence on the behalf of the country and the people in which he loved. And during this time, he had little to no money to fight the war, but he fought on with what he had, and he beat back the tyrant named King George. George Washington was also known as the man who could not die in battle, as he was shot at several times with bullet holes in his jacket, yet he survived unscathed. He told his family that, by all powerful dispensations of Providence, I have been protected beyond all human probability or expectation. And like King David, God protected Washington from his enemies. And in the past half century, as we have seen the corrupt in government slowly usurp their authority and declare war on the American people, the protection of the president has risen to ridiculous measures. And in the light of Obama's recent visit to North Carolina, an investigative reporter did research to see how much taxpayers spend whenever the president leaves the White House by plane. He found out that it costs $179,750 to fly Air Force One for just 1 hour. That expense is for fuel only, maintenance and sundries. It does not include all the staff and security personnel that accompany every move that the president makes. Making the clear distinction between then and now, George Washington bears the cross while this president wears the crown. Anyone who travels to Washington, D.C. will know what I'm talking about. When the president's motorcade goes through town, every road is blocked off by armed officers, and any building the president enters is searched over with a fine-tooth comb. The Secret Service was originally created in 1865 to suppress counterfeit currency. It had nothing to do with the president's safety until 1907, when Congress passed the Sundry Civil Expense Act, which now meant that two men would be in full-time charge of the president's safety. The Secret Service now has 3,200 employees, and whenever the president leaves the White House, the Secret Service calls on the federal, state, and local agencies to heighten security measures. Until Harry Truman's presidency, former presidents were dropped off at their homes and were provided no special pension, security, or other benefits. They would become an average American citizen, just like those that they served. When President Truman used to take daily walks around Washington, D.C., with a bodyguard or two in tow, American citizens could walk right up and shake his hand. What's happened since then, friends? When presidents work for the people, they feel safe enough to walk up and be friendly with their constituents. However, when they work for special interests and are being treated as crown kings, which, by the way, they are not, they suddenly feel that they need to be protected from their constituents. Is the writing not on the wall? Why, yes, indeed it is. Look at the parallel between Washington and the current administration. In 1789, the federal government under President Washington had 350 federal civilian employees. Today, they number in the millions. In 1832, the total federal budget was $11 million. In 2011, it was over $4 trillion. Since 1900, the total number of government laws and regulations the average citizen is required to obey has increased an estimated 3,000%. James Madison stated, "Every word of the Constitution decides a question between power and liberty. As the government increases control, this leads to a corresponding decrease of individual liberty and responsibility." The real problem is when all this power becomes centralized and is left unchecked by the public, then comes the rationale that they have the badge, then they must be right. Thomas Jefferson, who went through the era of the Revolutionary War, warned, "The two enemies of the people are criminals and government, so let us tie the second down with the chains of the Constitution so the second will not become the legalized version of the first." It has been said that laws are most numerous when the Commonwealth is most corrupt. Here we go. When the church and the world can jog comfortably along together, you can be sure something is wrong. The world is not compromised. Its spirit is exactly the same as it ever was. If Christians were equally as faithful to the Lord, separated from the world, and living so that their lives were a reproof to all ungodliness, the world would hate them as much as it ever did. It is the church that is compromised, not the world. Catherine Booth, founder of the Salvation Army. And husband to Catherine Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, William Booth, he rightly stated that the chief danger that confronts the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Friends, prophecy fulfilled.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker. Boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. If you want to call in at any time, we'd love to hear from you. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. If you want to check us out online, go to sonsoflibertymedia.com. You can watch us on social media platforms. Subscribe to that page, sonsoflibertymedia.com and or beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com. One more time, if you want to call in, love hearing from you. Sometimes, folks, if you call in too late or I pick up the call after I make my point and we get cut off by a hard break, please do forgive me. I'm just trying to get the information that's pertinent in context to prove the points before I pull up the calls. So I don't mean to be cutting anybody short when they do call in any sense of the word. And I kind of did that yesterday from our friend from California, Todd, yesterday. And I did not mean to do that. Just to let you know. Okay. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Also wanted to let you know that if this is the first time listening to the sonsoflibertyradio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place. It truly is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. And I'm telling you, friends, there's a lot of this going on from uneducated people. And that's just a fact, friends. Now, listen, we're going to be talking about what the soldiers are saying about war that the warmongers do not want you to hear. And we're going to highlight that because this is the truth of the matter. What is it that those soldiers are going through in many cases when they're fighting unconstitutional wars? Well, I'm going to play some audio for you, some video for you. And I also want to let you know that during this time, and if you remember right, I was the one that suggested, you know, and I've been saying this since day one, if politicians want to fight unconstitutional wars, then go ahead and lead the way. And I've been telling the American people that if you want the wars to stop, then send the warmongers in. And we've been given plenty of warning concerning just that, and I'll get to that in a moment. But it's also interesting to note that while the warmongers on trail right now, on the warpath, do consider that Donald Trump has dodged the draft 5 times. It's not just him. It's every one of them. But he himself, the one that's the war president, you know, the commander-in-chief, keep in mind that's operating outside of congressional approval. That's me and you. He dodged the draft 5 times. I mean, folks, I mean, does it get to the point where these cult followers of Donald Trump get to the point where they're ashamed of what they support because they can't justify it? I don't think so. It's embarrassing. The Lord said that which is highly admonished among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You got it backwards, cult followers. You really do. Read Acts 12:22 when you get a moment. But it's also interesting, and this is pertinent. This is important. Folks, it's one of the things that I've said, and I'm glad people are listening and catching on and starting to promote and promulgate and broadcast just exactly what we say here at the Sons of Liberty. If they want a war, let them go first. That's what our forefathers did. Why is it that the politicians of today, the warmongers, why is it that they want to create wars? And I didn't say it. Lindsey Graham said that. That's sodomite from South Carolina, who's over in Israel every 2 weeks, Rothschild's Israel, stating that they're creating and pre-planning wars. Let them fight the wars. That's how the wars will end. But why is it that they run antithetical to what our forefathers established? Why is it that they are the ones that are doing the opposite of what our forefathers did when there was a righteous war? They didn't call upon anybody else to fight their battles. They took the initiative because they knew it was a righteous war, the Lord's war, and they did exactly what they were doing by extinguishing the darkness, by being the light, Ephesians 5:11. Well, it's also interesting to note that, friends, did you know that there's websites going up all over the place calling for Barron Trump to go ahead and sign up for service because Donnie wants everybody else's kids to go fight their unconstitutional wars? You know those dumb, ignorant, military, stupid idiots that Henry Kissinger called out as merely being used as foreign pawns? Well, let their kids go first. There's websites that are going up, folks, and it's interesting. They're coming from without the United States of America trying to teach Americans what they should be doing. Barron Trump barred from military services. Iran war sparks outrage. Isn't that interesting? But it applies to everybody else's kid, right? Oh, here's the coward, Don Trump, the son. I'm showing a meme right now, and what it says is Trump family curse continues. The Trump boys develop bone spurs just in time in anticipation of war with Iran. Again, Americans, when are you going to quit playing the fool for these people? It's not their kids that go. It's not them that go. It's you that goes. And let me say it again, what none other than Henry Kissinger said. Our military men are, this is what he said about our military. Our military men are just dumb, stupid animals only to be used as foreign pawns. So while you're just going along with it, you're being mocked, you're being laughed at, you're being demeaned, you're being talked down about as to how stupid you are concerning fighting their wars. Even if they're unconstitutional, which I showed yesterday, they're completely unconstitutional. And I also highlighted, friends, concerning constitutionally what it is that the said president can move on. And guess what he did? He overrode Congress once again. Now, I have some of you wise people out there that want to tell me, well, he can do whatever he wants to. No, he can't. As a matter of fact, nobody from the said president down can do what they want. They swore to uphold the oath of the enumerated laws found within the Constitution. And if they don't do that, then it's your responsibility to impeach them and prosecute them. That's a fact. No. We don't want to check the Constitution. We just want to blindly rally behind our favorite politician because he's just like we are. Yep, that's what it is. So, folks, what we're going to be doing here in just a moment, I'm going to pull up a friend of ours, Steve. And I'll kind of tee it up for him when we get him on the phone on the other side of this break. But he is former military. He's one that I've always high-fived, always put my hand on his back in encouragement and telling him thank you for his service to our country. And he's got a problem with that. And when we get back on the other side of the break, you're going to understand why he's got a problem with that. Because the way they sell war to the American people and to the world is not what's going on with the soldiers. The soldiers are willing to tell us what the politicians aren't. And again, keep in mind, friends, it's the soldiers that are doing the fighting and the politicians that are profiting from war. And who said that? Well, I certainly didn't. Smedley Butler said this, the highest decorated military man in the Marines. He said, war is a racket. It always has been. It is possibly the oldest, easily the most profitable, surely the most vicious. It is the only one international in scope. It is the only one in which profits are reckoned in dollars. and the losses of lives. We'll be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hi, I'm Trace Banks, a certified integrative health coach in Charlotte, North Carolina. In my work with clients and physicians' patients, I'm often asked profound questions about God's Word. People want to know where they can find deeper biblical teaching, truth, beyond what they're hearing in their own churches. I point them to Bradley Dean's ministry, the Sons of Liberty Radio.com show, where he challenges listeners to remain firmly rooted in God's Word while boldly standing for liberty and justice within our government. Monday through Saturday at 2 Central Time, for uncompromising truth that motivates action.
BBSRadio.com.
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here, award-winning international journalist with Liberty Sentinel Media. We broke some of the critical stories exposing the COVID hoax, the lies about the injections, and so much more way before it was cool. We exposed the UN, the climate hoax, the U.S. government, and so much more, all from a biblical perspective, with a goal of bringing you all the information you need to keep your family and yourself happy, healthy, and free. Check us out at libertysentinel.org and subscribe for free at libertysentinel.org/subscribe.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Governments, like clocks, go from the motion men give them. Wherefore, governments rather depend upon men than men upon government. Let men be good, and the government cannot be bad. But if men be bad, the government will never be good. William Penn. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Somebody's saying something on live chat right now. And I'm trying to get your meaning. Guess what Kierdens were? If what I'm reading as to what you wrote, I'm afraid you're inverted, man. Explain your point that you're making there, please. What a Puritan is. Because, again, what I'm reading right now is not coming across as being sound, which means without error in any sense of the word. So, folks, without further ado, I'm going to read this Smedley Butler quote. He is the highest decorated Marine in the history of the Marines. And he wrote a book called War is a Racket. It's about 65 to 70 pages. Super easy to understand. He was on the inside, and this is what he had to say. This is what he wants the world to know about these wars that you're allowing this current administration, in the past one, before that, the one that preceded that, and the one that preceded that. Because as I said yesterday and the day before, friends, 93% of the time that we've been a country out of the last 250 years, we have been at war. And for what? Well, let's have Smedley Butler answer that question. This is what he said. He said, I spent 33 years and 4 months in active military service. And during that period, I spent most of my time as a high-class muscle man for big business. Who's the big business? Well, he tells us, for Wall Street and the bankers who fund both sides of the war. Then he goes on and says, I was a racketeer, a gangster for capitalism. I help make Mexico and especially Tampico safe for American oil interests in 1914 at the expense of the blood of the American people. He goes on and says, I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National City Bank boys to collect revenues in. He said, I helped in the raping of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. I helped purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of Brown Brothers in 1902 to 1912. He said, Smedley Butler did. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for the American sugar interests in 1916. I helped make Honduras right for the American fruit companies in 1903. In China in 1927, I helped see it to the Standard Oil when on its way unmolested. And he said, Smedley Butler did. Looking back, I might have given Al Capone a few hints. The best he could do was to operate his racket in three districts. I operated it on three continents. There's your warning, people. These are the people on the inside, and I've got more of that coming along. One such individual is my friend Steve. Steve, thanks for joining. I totally appreciate you. I just called you this morning. I thought about you this morning, and I thought it was important for you to tell the people your experiences, because what I want the people to know is over and over, I high-five our military. I come from a military family, but I also have in that, friends, that we all, in the politicians and the said military, and I'm talking about the military men and women, they swear to uphold a similar oath when they swear to fight against both domestic and foreign enemies, and then they end that oath with so help me God, which is found in Numbers 30, verse 2, Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and going back to Deuteronomy 23, 23. And I always try to do my best to high-five Steve and tell him thank you for your service. Well, Steve's always had a problem with that, and I want Steve to go ahead and share with my viewers and my listeners as to what the problem is. So, Steve, again, thanks for joining us on such short notice. Totally appreciate you. And I'm all ears, and I know everybody else is as well.
Well, I've always thought, you know, what did I do worthy of praise? You know, really, I swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, but did I? Constitution is violated now more than ever. You know, by being there, it made me think the other day when you were talking about that one woman who said she has a son in the military. And I kept thinking, well, what's that got to do with anything? That makes things right? Well, apparently, if it does, then I gave them legitimacy by being there. So I did evil just by my presence, because all the evil that was getting done, it's justified because I'm there. Not only does it get justified because I'm there, then I get thanked for it.
Right.
I mean... What have we done? Look at just recently, and I was watching Scott Ritter talk about it. They bombed two elementary schools. 150 girls, little girls, are dead, and our government did that in our name. And I kept thinking, I don't want them to have one dime of my money that I gave willingly that they used to do that. I mean, if I got to stay poor just so I don't do something taxable, would God think that was better than me being greedy and then laundering the money and saying, well, okay, they kill a few people with my money, but, you know, I do good with it. I'm not guilty of it. Well, where's my responsibility begin and where does my responsibility end?
Amen. Amen. I mean, like Steve, you're talking about the recent campaign, right? You're talking about the recent campaign, these strikes in Iran, right, on the behalf of Israel. That's what you're highlighting, correct?
Yeah, in Israel, yeah. They bombed in Iran, they bombed a school. I mean, millions have come out to mourn because they killed all them little girls. You know,
you know what they're selling to the American people, though, don't you, Steve? They're selling to the American people that those people are out on the streets rejoicing that they were just attacked. And there's people in this country that believe these people, these warmongers. They're selling to the American people that the Iranians are rejoicing over just over what just happened. And there's people that believe it in this country.
And there lies the problem.
There it is.
That's
right.
Look at all the times when untruths are told, and we have no accountability for the, you know, I've worked for political campaigns, and then they don't protect the Constitution. I should have never messed with them.
Yeah, I just had a guy, Steve, say that it was not our military or Israel's army that bombed the girls. He said it was Iran that hit it. I mean, this is how brainwashed these people are. And these are the people that don't believe the media. And they're the ones that have a problem with what's going on, but they refuse to point the finger at the responsible party pulling the trigger. Because they don't want to, they want to try to justify what they support. That's why they never point their finger at the one that they idolize, the one that they put in the place of Christ.
Well, here's my question for that person. Okay, he says Iran did that. Okay. Well, Iran is over there in their property. And if somebody came over to your house and shot your family member, and then said, well, Bradley shot him. My question would be, what are you doing in his house? What are you doing in your house?
Exactly.
If you're there to accuse him, what are you doing there to accuse him? This idea that we can roam the world and claim that we're going to attack everybody around because they're a danger to us, that's not what a sane person does. If it just apply what our government does to what if your neighbor was doing it. If you had a neighbor that was roaming the neighborhood doing what, you know, saying, I got to kill everybody in the neighborhood because I have a right to exist and I'm not safe. Is what they're saying is they have rights and you don't. You know, the old saying, your right to swing your fist ends at my nose. But that's not what most people are saying on either side. Either side says, I can swing my fist anywhere I want. So if a mother wants her rights and she violates her baby's rights by killing them, the Democrats are fine with it. If the Republicans want to go kill somebody across the world and violate their rights, they think they can do it. But it's... rights are a two-way street. You can't have what you don't give. And we haven't been giving people their rights for decades. We're violating people's rights.
That's right. I mean, I think people need...
I don't understand how people think...
Yeah, Steve, I got a heartbreak coming up on me. I'm going to hold you over for another segment here. But I do want people to understand that you've allowed this... government, our said representatives, we are the government in this country. We have allowed our representatives to basically police the world unconstitutionally to the point of 737 military bases on 142 different countries. And if that doesn't tell you what the problem is, I don't know what is. We got our friend from Steve calling in right now, and we're going to pull him back up in just a moment, and I'm going to get to some more questions here. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, there are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So, don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
It's Emmy-winning investigative journalist, nationally published author, and radio host Shad Olson to tell you what I think about my friend and compatriot, Bradley Dean. In the era of the podcast, big talkers are a dime a dozen or maybe even cheaper than that. Bradley Dean is a patriot who not just talks the talk, but he walks the walk each and every day.
Become a son or daughter of liberty at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed, real printed newspaper that takes on the tough issues of our day, and we don't waste time with nonsense. We have some of the best red pill writers in the country, including Bradley Dean, and we tell you the truth you need to know. It's unlike anything you've seen before. Email us to get your free sample copy. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. Also, watch our TV program every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Central at WCNTV.net.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Mary Queen Scots said of that of the prophet John Knox in Scotland, the trumpet blast, that she feared his prayers more than all of the armies of Europe. John Knox said of himself, considering myself called of my God to instruct the ignorant, comfort the sorrowful, confirmed the weak and rebuked the proud, by tongue and lively voice in these corrupt days, rather than to compose books for the age to come, seeing that so much is written and yet so little well observed, I decree to contain myself within the bounds of that vocation whereunto I found myself especially called. What is the purpose of magistrates, our said representatives, in the halls of government? 1 Peter 2:14 tells us, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, the Lord, for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and a religious people, Christian. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Human passions unbridled by morality and religion, Christianity, would break the strongest cords of our Constitution as a whale goes through a net. The second President of the United States of America, Mr. John Adams. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. I mean, you would think with all of the lies that the American people have seen exposed administration after administration, campaign after campaign, they would have enough common sense to understand who the enemies are. And the sad part about America is 86% of it declares that they're Christians, but I can tell you right now, 85% haven't repented yet. That's the problem. They haven't brought forth the fruits of repentance. They just keep going on with their bad self, keep allowing politicians to sow bad seed throughout the world, and then they wonder why we're being occupied and invaded. What do you think? These people are here to play games with us, folks? Nope, they want recompense for what you've allowed their your politicians to do to their countries. No matter how you want to see it, that's exactly what's going on. Galatians 6, 7, 8, and 9. Chapter 6, verse 7, 8, and 9. Hey, folks, war is when the government tells you who the bad guys is. When are you going to get in your heads and in your minds that they're not telling you the truth? When does that happen, Americans? Revolution is when you decide that for yourself. And I'm talking about, let me use the word reformation. That came from Ben Franklin. Who knew better than our forefathers? Nobody did. I want to get back with Steve. Steve, I got you for about five more minutes here. And I just want to kind of get to some, let's get to some of your experience that you had in the military. And could you do this for me? Could you, concerning Panama, because we talked about it a little bit earlier, but you kind of told me, you know what actually happened there. But in spite of that, in contrast, what I want to do is have you also share with the people how the government sold that war to you, but what was actually happening in that war and what was it all about? It's all yours.
Well, they said they had to remove Noriega from power. And so, you know, they start bombing the place to take him out of power. But the reality of the thing was they put him in power. So...
just like Saddam.
The guy they put in power, they decided they needed to take out of power, and then they blame Panama for it.
Yep.
You know, you bomb innocent civilians because the government they have that you forced on them, you no longer want. And so I go back to saying if you started threatening your neighbors and then you blame your neighbors for being unsafe, how is it your neighbor's fault if you're constantly threatening them and are a danger to them? I mean, look at our national debt. If your neighbor was spending all their money and starving their kids by buying weapons that they want to use against you, wouldn't you be looking at it and saying, wait a minute, that's not a strategy of safety. If we're going to tank our economy by overspending, which how can they justify $38 trillion in debt? And why would future generations be responsible for that money when our CIA used a bunch of that money to put those people in power?
That's right. That's exactly what Rumsfeld did with Saddam Hussein.
We financed Iraq.
Exactly. No, you're exactly right, Steve, and this is why it's so pertinent for people to even recollect what happened in past wars and how many of those wars were justified. Yesterday, I'd taken the time to show the people that we were told by every network except one in the United States that it was falsified, the information. They wanted to attack just to attack, and then we found out what they were attacking for. Wesley Clark said, the general during that particular time said the only reason that they went to Iraq is because they had natural resources, only to find out after there was no WMDs, and we also found out that Halliburton made $34.5 billion. And no matter how many times you tell the American people this, somehow or another they try to find honor in it, and it's not honorable. It's not honorable. I honor our military, but our military within those ranks, they need to do their job. And if they were doing their job, they'd be standing up against the one that's giving unconstitutional orders. And I think that's my objective here. And it's not double talk. Well, it's not double meaning. But go ahead, Steve.
Well, look at Iraq. So when I was in Desert Storm, it was fully admitted that the chemical weapons that Saddam had at one time, he got the precursors from us.
That's right.
When we were backing him in the war against Iran. So there he gasses the Iranians, and, you know, like a quarter of a million to 300,000 Iranians are dead because Saddam gassed them. Does that sound like they hate us because we're free? I mean, so we sit there, and our CIA took their guy out of power and puts the Shah in power. There's this constant meddling and just messing with all these countries, and then we sit there and say, well, it's your fault.
Yep.
It's your fault.
Always.
And you hate us because we're free. Well, we ain't free.
Yeah.
We ain't free because I didn't want to pay for that, and I don't want to pay for that, and I don't have a chance. I don't have a right to not pay for it. So how am I free?
You know, it's another thing that's interesting, Steve, is people that try to justify the unjustifiable when it comes to these unconstitutional wars. every step of the way this current administration took it was unconstitutional. Every step. And yet his their worshipers, or actually this administration's worshipers, the cult followers, and that's exactly what they are. What did they do? They justified it. And it's like, they're okay. But here's the thing. Does it hit home when it becomes their sons and their daughters that are dying for these unconstitutional wars? Then does it get real? Because I say that in part. That I remember Fahrenheit 9/11 came out, and Michael Moore's a clown, but he had some good things to say concerning this documentary. And it was a mother that totally loved George W. Bush during September 11th. She totally loved him. Her son went to war after September 11th. And then when her son was murdered, she started to dig in deeper as to what was going on. And then she became his number one protester. Why is it that people, do you suppose that people have to lose their own before they actually wake up to what's going on? Because it seems that there's so many people out there that are just A-okay with these unconstitutional wars as long as it doesn't cost them anything. What say you?
Well, many of them don't accept responsibility even after that happens.
That's right.
You know, like that lady that called, you know, commented to you the other day. She's going to have to tell you her son's doing right. She can't accept that he's doing wrong. She can't accept that, so she's going to lie to herself and say what he's doing is right. So whenever you look at in politics, whenever they start saying, well, my family member, whatever, that somehow just, instead of saying, look, write it, my grandma used to say, right is always right, even when nobody does it, and wrong is always wrong, even when everybody does.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And so if you stand alone, I was commenting on a situation the other day, and I said, you know, if I have to do a certain thing and it violates the protocols or whatever, I truly believe it's going to save a life. And when I was in the military, in our regulations, it said, like in one of the beginning chapters, that those regulations weren't intended to replace everything. And so if to save a life or to save an aircraft, you had to violate them, you do so.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, a life or the aircraft is more important. And I said, you know, if I did what truly needed to be done and I get punished for doing what I needed to do, if I do wrong, I deserve to be punished. But if I get punished for doing right, that tells you what the person's really is.
Yep.
And if you're willing to get punished for doing right, that's fine.
That's what our Lord did.
Do right.
And that's what he taught us. Exactly. Steve, I got two more minutes, and I want you to go ahead and share with the people concerning your experiences as to why they need to wake up concerning these unconstitutional wars that they're attempting to advance on the American people by casting into our minds, once again, another madman is let loose, and we have to take care of him, because if we don't, then this is what's going to happen to us. How would you answer that?
Well, look, they raised the Pentagon budget to $1 trillion, and that was obscene, and now they're going to raise it to $1.5 trillion. Take a look around at the country. Can you afford that? I keep saying that our economy is what it is because we can't afford the government we have, and they're manipulating the currency so that we don't realize that we're paying for it. But we can't afford that kind of defense. So even if it was necessary, if you can't afford it and you tank your own country with a defense policy that's going to ruin your economy, you've destroyed yourself.
That's right.
And the last thing you should ever do is destroy yourself. Now, if I got people that are supposed to be smart,
30 seconds.
You got to ask what they're doing.
And that's exactly right. I can tell you what we should all be doing, Steve. We should be getting educated, because once we take the time to know the difference for ourselves concerning the word in the Constitution and common law, which is premised on, then we're going to know the truth of the matter, and we're not going to have to do radio shows like this any longer, because the American people are going to know for themselves, and they're going to stand up to those that are doing the lying. And if they don't do it, then that's the end of our republic as we see it today. Steve, I totally appreciate you, guy. Thank you for your time. I wanted to answer one thing that Steve was talking about concerning the national deficit, $38 trillion. Did you know that our forefathers told us it is incumbent on every generation to pay its own debt as it goes? A principle which, if acted on, would save one half of the wars of the world. In other words, every administration is supposed to cash out before the new one comes in. Is that where we're at? Nope, it's not where we're at.
Nations around the world, including the U.S., are being purposely destroyed from within by their own governments. Are you tired of the lies of the politicians and communists? Wisconsin Christian News is a national newspaper that tells it like it is. We don't have time for nonsense. We publish the truth, whether it's popular or not. WisconsinChristianNews.com. Subscribe today, print or online. WisconsinChristianNews.com.
This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.com. Martin Luther King Jr. rightly stated that I must admit, America, that I was initially disappointed in being so categorized as an extremist. But as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being an extremist. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of an extremist we will be. We will be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? He goes on and says, history will record that the greatest tragedy of this period of social transition was not the strident clamor of the bad people, but the appalling silence of the good people. James Madison, the father of our Constitution, said, do not separate text from historical background. If you do, you will have perverted and subverted the Constitution, which can only end in a distorted, bastardized form of illegitimate government. He also stated that the future and success of America is not in this Constitution, but in the laws of God upon which this Constitution is founded. Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Okay, so I need to kind of kick this in gear a little bit. I didn't want to rush Steve. Again, it was important information. And I've had several conversations, and some of the things that he had told me, he's almost ashamed that he served in the military during that particular time, because it wasn't at all what was sold to the American people. But I want to get to two things here, and I'm going to tee it up for tomorrow, because I got some more audio video for you that I want you to hear concerning the soldiers that were in the war. I want you to hear their stories, because many of them have distanced themselves from the service because of the guilt and shame and regret in partaking of many of these campaigns. Here, let me tell you this. One guy, he went so far as to tell the people that the senior officials or the higher ups in the military brass were actually offering four-day passes to the first person in Iraq, namely one of the soldiers, namely a Marine, to the first Marine that actually stabbed his first victim to death. And he goes on and he goes on and how he was being rewarded and congratulated for committing crimes against innocent people. I'm going to play that for you tomorrow so you can understand what this is all about. If you haven't been there, folks, I want to bring people that have been there so you can, again, understand perfectly. Now, what I want to do is I want to play this really quick, and I want to hit, like I said, two more points here. And this is, and I'm playing this for my weekday friends on my affiliates across the country, and it is January 17th, 1961, where Eisenhower came forward, where it was unscripted. He went off topic, and he warned the American people concerning the military-industrial complex. That's where we're at today, friends, okay? And I want you to check this out.
I come to you with a message of leave-taking and farewell.
This speech did not get very much attention. When a new president is coming to power, as John Kennedy was, the spotlight was not on Dwight Eisenhower.
We have been compelled to create a permanent armaments industry of vast proportions.
There was a feeling at the time that this must have been written by some speechwriter who just sneaked into the speech.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
3 months ago, we got contacted by a family up in Minnesota saying that we have documents from Malcolm Moose. He was responsible in part for drafting the military-industrial complex speech.
These new papers give us written evidence that this was not just some caprice of Eisenhower's or something by some speechwriter.
You see the evolution of his speech from May 1959 to 1961.
And he wanted to give this speech for a long time, 2 years.
Our military organization today bears little relation to that known of any of my predecessors in peacetime, or indeed by the fighting men of World War II or Korea.
There was one person in Dwight Eisenhower's life whom he really confided almost everything to, and that was his brother Milton.
There's one particular document where the speechwriters had already drafted their version of his speech, only to see Milton come along and totally revamp what had already been written.
When Milton Eisenhower was taking notes and writing things on the drafts of these speeches, the speechwriters knew that it wasn't Milton talking, it was Ike.
The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
He would see magazines.
Okay, so folks, what they're highlighting here is Ike, during this particular time, wanted to warn the American people, and his writer was not doing what it was that he wanted to convey to the American people. Remember, Eisenhower was in the war, people, okay? And I also want everybody to understand, Eisenhower didn't do everything right. He's not what the people put him up to be today. As a matter of fact, at the beginning of the speech, he's talking about how a government, an atheistic view of government, is on the scene back in the 1960s. Well, he was actually one that was in part responsible for dropping 33,000. That's the number. 33,000 words to basically start the indoctrination scheme of evolution in public schools, which was completely illegal in this country up until 1968. But I will highlight the good that he did here, in the sense of him having the courage, in spite of what was going on in the country during that time, and him warning the American people about the military-industrial complex. He was off script, friends. Nobody wrote that for him. He was the one that was writing that. And then during this documentary that I'm highlighting right now, in part, even his brother came about and shared with the people that Ike was warning the American people of what the military-industrial complex was attempting to do. Now, folks, look where we're at. What, 68 years later, 67 years later? Look what we're dealing with, friends. Exactly what he warned us of is in play now. And they're overriding the people. I want you to remember something, people, that 92% of the narrative that you get is coming from those that are sending forth a propaganda narrative, Micah 6:16, which is nothing new. Just think about that. 92% of the information you're getting is premised off of lies. And a good portion of those lies are coming from, guess what, friends? Yesterday's liberals, today's conservatives. I want you to think about who's selling that narrative. Nobody's selling that propaganda narrative more than the good guys with the networks that are making millions of dollars off of serving their sponsors to demoralize the people, to enslave them and their children. That's what this is all about. Now, this is the second point I wanted to hit before the end of the show. And again, friends, just so you know, tomorrow we're going to be talking about more of this, and I'm going to play more audio and video for you from soldiers that were there and what they were told to do and what they were responsible for doing and how repentant that they are. They became the greatest protesters of those campaigns that they were encouraged to be a part of and that they were sold to be a part of by the mainstream media and the corrupt politicians within the halls of government. Okay? We're going to talk more about that tomorrow. I want to go to Luke 12:58 really quick. I was reading in Luke yesterday. It says, "When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou may beest delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee in prison." Well, some will say, "Bradley, can you explain that?" Sure, I can do that. You know what that parable explains in Luke 12:58, friends? The urgency of reconciliation between you and your God. Jesus uses the analogy of a legal dispute to stress the necessity of selling matters, specifically repentance and aligning yourself with the will of God before it's too late. Now, the adversary and the judge, who are they? Well, the verse warns that ignoring spiritual signs and falling to resolve or failing to resolve conflicts leads to severe consequences. Over and over, when you look at the prophets, friends, the Lord said, "If you amend your ways, I'll withhold judgment." He says, "If you amend your ways, I'll withhold judgment." But the people didn't amend their ways. They mocked Jeremiah. They threw him into the pit. They threw him into prison until those judgments begin to fall upon their heads. And then the corrupt kings that were responsible for persecuting Jeremiah as well as the people, they started to call out Jeremiah to talk to the Lord on the behalf of their current state, where they were now under judgment. And this scripture here tells us, you know what? Do what you do with the time that you have it. So when you don't have the time, you wish you would have when you did have the time. So again, when we look at this in context, Luke 12:58, this teaching follows Jesus rebuking the people, all of us, for not interpreting the present time and recognizing the urgency of the kingdom of God. Let me remind everybody, as a faithful witness that delivers souls, the message Jesus Christ gave to his disciples, all 85% of them in America, is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if they're not preaching repentance, it's because they themselves have never repented and they never brought forth the fruit of repentance. What does the verse highlight in context? The importance of making the most of our time, like scripture tells us, today is the day of salvation. Redeem the times. Life is but a vapor because we're not promised tomorrow. This isn't a scare tactic, friends. It is scripture. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Better to learn now, friends, than on judgment day when it's too late. Hebrews 9:27, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Revelation 21, verse 8. Love you by what we do. I'll go ahead and take Bob as our last caller. Bob, it's all yours. You got about 1 minute.
Hey, Bradley, we have a sacrificial soldier that is running for governor here in Texas, and he was a Green Beret battlefield surgeon that was being forced to not give informed consent to 6,000 of his soldiers, and he said he couldn't do that. So he had to stand down, relinquish his 29-year career to save his soldiers. And this guy has the Bible. He doesn't know it as good as you, but boy, he knows it. And everything he does is to the Word of God.
Well, I'll tell you what.
I gave him a copy of Blackstone's first volume, and he said, "I can't take it. These are getting too expensive." And I said, you know, he loves to read. And I said, "You got to read this."
Well, tell them, will you do me a favor, Bob? Bob, I got to close the show. Do me a favor and tell your friend I heard his example and I am listening to his example because his example stands head and shoulders above the rest of other people's words. He did what needed to be done and I thank him for that. And please convey that, folks. Love you by what we do. Talk to you in 23 hours. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com. See ya.